You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.
To Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And this week we will be diving into Electroclash. I actually put on some...
Well, the music side of the episode, not the news side.
Yeah, just electric is clashing.
Yeah.
It's the AC versus the DC all over again. Yeah, who knew that the current war has come to 2024?
I mean, really, it's just a dance rock punk, highly distorted fusion style that was popular in the mid-2000s.
But what about the music genre?
That's what, yes. Yes.
We're not talking about the battle of electrical currents.
There's a lot of the bands are from Montreal. I mean, in the genre in total, there's a lot of bands from Montreal, a lot from Belgium, a lot specifically from Île de Rémy in France. I don't know what's happening in that little island, but it's kind of like Hamilton, Ontario has a weirdly large number of bands that start there, and Halifax as well. Halifax has the lion's share of Canadian independent artists, and it's just... I mean, with all due respect to Halifax, it's a bit of a small town in the grand scheme of things, and they just keep pumping out artists. So I don't know. I don't know what's happening in Île de Rémy, but yeah, there's anyway.
Speaking of pumping them out, we have been watching. I don't know what you're laughing about. There is a totally innocuous statement to make. So yeah, speaking of pumping them out, we were watching RuPaul's Drag Race Canada.
Okay.
Recent. We're not going to do spoilers on who won, but the Drag Race Denim is the first drag queen to be on one of the RuPaul's franchises.
Okay.
From Prince Edward Island.
Oh!
Yeah! So it's inspired a few folks down in PEI to maybe get involved and you know, engage and aim for large national audiences. Like I said, we're not going to comment on who won. We don't want to spoiler it for anybody.
I don't even know.
You don't even know?
No.
However, what I will say is it was a great series. Definitely worth watching. Ottawa, and this is why you reminded me of it, you're talking about Halifax sort of outperforming for its size.
Yes.
Ottawa knows how to deliver a drag look.
Okay.
Like the level of costuming and hair that comes out of Ottawa is like Eurovision on the daily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that level of like high caliber performance. There's no arts and craft in Ottawa drag.
It's interesting how different communities do different things. Because like when I... most of the drag shows that I saw was when I lived in Hamilton. And the queens there aren't really focused on the look. At least not when I was living there. A lot of them were more focused on working the crowd.
Mm.
So in terms of someone who can interact with the audience, make humor, draw people in, make a running joke, people who... You know, anyone who's frequent in the community, people who most people know, they'll sort of draw them in, make sort of a local politic out of it. Which, if you know Hamilton, that's a very Hamilton thing to do. Toronto, when I saw it, was a lot more about music and performance. And the few acts...
So much lip-syncing.
A lot of lip-syncing, but also a lot of very good dancing. Most of the queens in Toronto have background in dance.
Yeah.
And then the few queens that I've seen in Montreal, most of them are really just stand-up comics and drag.
It's very avant-garde in Montreal.
Yeah.
Montreal drag, for me, comes across as very avant-garde. Yeah. We've got...
But under the leadership of Mado, there is that emphasis on stand-up, on being funny. And some of them will lip-sync. There are a few who do not lip-sync at all. They just wear drag and work the crowd.
There are so many different styles of drag. Yeah. I do... My longest-running bugbear about RuPaul's Drag Race is the homogenization of drags on art form.
Yes.
Especially around lip syncing. I mean, we see this occasionally where certain drag queens are like, I've never lip synced, never will. It's not what I do.
Yeah.
Does that mean I don't do drags? I can't mime to a song?
There are so many drag queens who actually sing.
Yeah.
They compose and they perform music. There was... What was it? Not Chris. Not Chris Edwards. There's a famous Canadian drag queen who actually did female impersonation and could, like, impersonate the singing and speaking voice of, like, Bette Midler and
Mae West
and a whole raft of... It was Mae West was the one they're most famous for. Who was it?
I think I recall who you're thinking of.
I know they're
going to have
movie,
to Google it now.
Yeah, they're in a movie called Outrageous.
Well, you Google it. One of the things that stands out to me is just... I think that there is... We're familiar with the idea of the house of, you know, couture or of whatever. And some of the names are ridiculous.
Craig Russell. It was Craig Russell, one of the best female impersonators of all time. Okay. Absolutely hilarious. But anyway...
But give me a good pun-based drag name any day of the week.
Or even, like, Dame Edna, who was so wholesome.
Yeah.
Well, not always, but 90% of the time. Yeah. So wholesome.
I love the comedy of a drag queen where it's... You know, for our audience, the best example I can give of this particular comedy is Robin Williams in... Mrs. Doubtfire? Yeah.
Okay.
Where it's that double entendre, it's that tongue-in-cheek. Where it's like you can... He's saying one thing, but, you know, an adult audience knows the other thing. Uh-huh. Whereas the younger audience is like, what? You know, that's beautiful. And I think drag performance did that really well. Like, the two drag names I heard recently, Neera Nuff, out of Edmonton, fantastic drag queen.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one that came on one of the recent series, Mandy Tory Meeting.
Okay.
I love a good drag name. I love a good drag name. All right. I forget where we started off with this, but yes, Denim has really inspired folks out of Prince Edward Island. Great to see that happening. Now we're going to jump to our first Canadian song of the day. Now we do have quite a few, first Canadian news of the day. We have a few songs lined up for later, but I want to talk about, because we do talk about reports of... Last week we talked about how the Supreme Court of Canada has alleged that grooming, when written down, where there's zero basis in fact, where there's, you know, it is defamation. You can't just accuse people of grooming because these allegations are so fundamentally serious.
Yes.
Well, up in BC, specifically we're talking about North Peace Pride, one of their board members was recently arrested on multiple charges. He has been arrested for touching a person under 16 for sexual purposes, interference with the person under 16, possession of child pornography, importing and distributing child pornography, according to the BC Prosecution Service. Now, Northern Peace Pride Society, but they did release a bit of a statement after this. Now, everyone is innocent until proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying whether or not he did this.
Mm-hmm.
But North Peace Pride Society, almost immediately after finding out, they released this statement on January the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
We've only just caught up with that. And it says, quote, on December 31st, 2020, one of our board members was arrested and is facing severe charges inconsistent with the North Peace Pride Society's mission and code of conduct. In response to the gravity of the charges, we have immediately removed this person from our board, emphasized our commitment to community values. They go on to say that essentially they've advised their partners of the next steps. The society itself has not been implicated.
Mm-hmm.
And they also include, while some board members work directly with youth through library programs, this person was not among them. All board members involved with youth programs have undergone criminal record checks. Moving forward, we remain dedicated to community safety. They're introducing measures such as having all board members conduct record checks to the highest standard. Now, it's commonplace for nonprofits that work with youth, vulnerable adults as well, to have a vulnerable sector check, which is a bit deeper. It's a bit of a broader you know, background check.
I mean, when I volunteered, when I sat on the board of directors for Ottawa Capital Pride, I had to have a security check done. And I didn't even... It was just in case I interact with a volunteer and there's nobody else in the room, which never actually happened. But we did it for just in case. Mm-hmm. And a lot of not-for-profit and volunteer and charity and public organizations will do something similar if there are volunteers who could potentially be under the age of 18. It's common practice. Hopefully it's universal practice. I should hope. It's not that much. You just, I think it's like $20 and you fill in some paperwork and then you just send it off to the local police and then they just send a letter to whomever, the head of the you know, the board of directors or the ED, and they basically say like, yeah, they're clean. And it's an easy process. It's not that hard. And it should be universal. It's not universal, but it probably should be. And a lot of the organizations that do step on the toes of negative public perception, get ahead of the curve, and they do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Pride organizations have been accused of, gay folks are accused of this far more than it is true.
Yeah.
We are highlighting a case here where it is true.
Yes.
You know, where, you know, it's not like it never happens. It evidently does.
And it's also worth mentioning that when they did studies on this, it turns out to be just at proportion with general society.
Consistent.
So whatever percentage you expect heterosexuals, but it makes bigger headlines, unfortunately, when the gays do it. But
Fort St. John in Northern BC. Yeah, but they got ahead of it. They were like, yeah, no, this is so unbelievably inconsistent, as it obviously is. Mm-hmm. He has been arrested, facing charges. Nothing has been tested or proven in court. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's worth saying that he was board president since 2018. He has then been removed, obviously, very swiftly by the board. Is it enough to sort of scrub him off the website? Let your partners know? Like, is that sufficient?
Well, you gotta be careful, because if it turns out to be completely and totally groundless, not just groundless, because groundless in the legal sense, it could either mean there's circumstantial evidence, but they can't conclusively prove something to the high degree of the law. But there's hints, and then there's just like, no, we can prove that they did nothing. You do not want to ruin somebody's life based on an allegation alone.
Absolutely.
So having that sort of hesitant, we're just going to put a giant bracket around this for now.
Yeah.
He is not on the premises. He's not involved in anything. He is off the books for now. But don't do it in a way so that if it turns out to be completely groundless, you're not going to ruin the guy's life. And there is a road to redemption if it turns out that it's smoke.
Yeah. We're not going to name him because, as I say, obviously nothing has been proven in court. I think it's worth noting that all of these pride organizations, so many of them work with young queer folks who are discovering their sexuality.
Yeah.
And it's so important to be so careful. Fundamentally, anyone who is being put in a position of authority with folks who are vulnerable or below the age of consent in particular, then they absolutely need to be background checked. There's also other things you can do. Many charities have a practice of having more than one adult in the room.
Yeah.
So if there's ever youth programming, you need two adults. And it's just so many ways of proactively creating spaces that are welcoming and safer than what they would be without those policies.
Yeah.
You know, it's very doable. Mm-hmm. Unfortunate story to hear about from North Peace Pride and obviously the chairman, the former board president. We will keep an eye on that story and others as they develop. Now, the song that inspired the musical genre for today is Skin and Leather by The Hidden Cameras, and we will be back just after this.
pushed to the floor. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Cancri, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And we were just listening to Crystal Castles, Kerosene.
Yes.
Before that, Hidden Cameras, Skin and Leather. But you chose Crystal Castles. I think you heard it on the show. I forget the name of it.
It was
Bob's Burgers, maybe?
No, not Bob. Actually, Bob's Burgers also had some pretty good music on it. It's really weird the way that every so often you have a TV show that just plays something in the background and you just whip out your phone and Shazam it. And that was Skins, because Skins UK, as much as now when I think back at it, I'm like, I can't believe that show was made for teenagers. That was like...
It pushed the boundary.
It pushed the boundary for adults.
It pushed every boundary.
Yeah. But really good music. And there's a bunch of Canadian bands that I discovered through that, because for some reason Canadian media only plays Canadian music that only five people like. Mm. If there's a band out there that the whole world likes, then they just sort of shrug it off and play, I don't know, something else.
Yeah. Celine Dion. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, we're going to be jumping to our next story. Right. For folks who are fans of the gay games, which are just sporting games, volleyball, soccer, fencing.
It's like, what if the Olympics had less politics in it?
And more homosexuals.
Not necessarily, actually. There was 1 year... No, I mean, you laugh, but there was, I think, 10 years ago?
No, it was the last Olympics had the most openly queer athletes ever competing.
But no, there's a gay games about 10 years ago or something, because we've been on the radio for quite some time, and there was one where they reported that actually, for the first time in its history, there were more non-LGBT people in the gay games.
Yeah.
And it was just for various... political reasons, they weren't allowed to compete in their own home country's Olympics, so they just went to that instead. Mm-hmm. So really, it's more like the Olympics, but open, and I don't know, let fewer things like, I don't know, if you're a ethnic minority in a country that doesn't like their local ethnic minorities, I could list some countries, but I don't want to put any targets on anyone. Then you can just go to the gay games instead. So there was an Olympic that was mostly straight.
Are you familiar with the Rido Speedos?
The Rido Speedos, yes.
So in Ottawa, there is a swim team called the Rido Speedos, named after, I assume, the Rido Mall or the Rido Street or just...
Well, the mall and the street are named after...
Mr. Rido. Yeah. Obviously.
Also the Rido River, but yeah.
Yeah, which is named after Mr. Rido, I
assume. Of course, yes.
There's probably...
Bob Rido.
Bob Rido. Although it sounds French, maybe Jacques Rideau. I'll go with the Jacques Rideau.
Rideau is the word for curtains as well.
Okay, well, you know, pull yourself together. Anyway, so the Rideau Speedos had a podium finish at the Gay Games in Guadalajara in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Very exciting. We reached out to them. Unfortunately, we weren't able to make an interview happen. Although, congratulations to them and everyone on the team for doing so well. But I wanted to bring up the Rideau Speedos because there are a few sort of sporty teams across Ottawa. The Ottawa Wolves that does rugby. The Rideau Speedos does the swimming. I think there's a skate soccer team somewhere.
There's a running group.
Yep. Actually, hot goss. The Toronto running club is generating all kinds of disgruntlement.
Oh.
Because it's very popular.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've ever been on a street when like 100 people come running at you.
Okay.
But it's quite concerning. And it takes up a lot of sidewalk space. So there's a debate as to whether or not this massive, like, herd of runners should be on the road, should be on the sidewalk. They're, like, barreling people out of the way.
I mean, why don't they just split groups?
Quite a menace, apparently, is
like,
these,
they should just have, like,
runners.
You know, the Bay Street chapter, the Beaches chapter,
Don't concentrate all 100 people. It's going to be like somebody... You know, somebody yelled fire in the theater, and it's just like if I came out of a door and saw 100 people running away. I mean, I'd close the door and go back in, but you know, it can cause panic.
Like those Japanese pranks where somebody's just walking down the street, and then like 1,000 people come running towards them, screaming.
Yeah.
And then they just turn around and run. Every so often, you have that one person who just doesn't care. They're just late for work, and they're like, excuse me, and then they just like push through the crowd. But yeah, there's...
I heard a great story about a beagle last week that did a half marathon.
Like the dog?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was let loose in its front yard, saw a whole bunch of people running by, joined in, placed first in the species. did a time better than most of the humans.
Okay.
Just joined in.
Okay.
Just went for a run. Anyway, the Toronto City Running Group is causing some headaches as they start to dominate certain streets.
Just split into groups.
Split into smaller groups. Yeah. Get out of the way. Absolutely. But that brings me back. The whole point I'm talking about Rideau Speedos and the Wolves is these groups and teams are very approachable, generally speaking. They're all levels of skill.
Mm-hmm.
And the kinds of folks that are in there are not your Olympic from birth training just to swim in, you know, a competition. It's people who want to get out, want to get involved, want to create relationships with queer folks that are not based on sex or alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having actual friends, doing a hobby you like.
Mm-hmm.
This might seem crazy to gay folks, but that is a thing that people do.
I remember 20 years ago, there was a massive news story about the World of Warcraft Gay Guild.
Mm.
And after 6 months of it being around, it was about 75% straight. And it was just people who wanted to play the game and not be called slurs all the time.
Yeah.
So a lot of these groups are really just focused on getting along and having a good time.
Creating welcoming environments.
Yeah.
Well, that's what can be expected with the Gay Games. Now, Edmonton and Vancouver have both been put on the long list. They're trying to get a sense of what else might be needed to be able to host it, but they have stiff competition.
Right. They should just do it in Réunion and make everyone suffer.
In where, sorry?
Réunion.
Yeah.
It's a remote island in the middle of the Pacific.
Okay, yeah. And you have to swim to it. And whoever gets whoever gets there wins the games.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's like a survival.
I like the idea, though, of it being in Canada because every host country gets to introduce one game that they do just that one time, just to sort of show off. And I love the idea, because everybody knows about all the sports that were invented in Canada. So hockey and basketball were invented in Montreal. Of course, lacrosse is one of our national sports. And I love the idea of having, like, an Olympic-level crokinole.
Yeah, so we'll see. It is potential that Canada might do well.